Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the wisdom teachings of the ages. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of Lucis Trust. Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature, and those 24 volumes of literature are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought, though, comes from Natalie Banks, a longtime student of Alice Bailey teachings. The constant reappearance of the ageless wisdom handed down from remote times has been compared in symbol to a golden thread, a spiritual lifeline waxing and waning in clarity from century to century. The idea of a golden thread running throughout history seems to imply that there's a unity in man's spiritual beliefs, regardless of culture or religion. Is that true?
Yes, the idea of the golden thread, in fact, is a subject treated in one of the very well-known myths of ancient Greece. Didn't it have to do with Theseus and Ariadne and a labyrinth?
Yes, it's a very ancient, and it's a very ancient myth. But as like all myths, it has a teaching character to it. And in this book by Natalie Banks, called The Golden Thread, there is a description of this myth, and perhaps we might just mention it at the beginning here just to identify what this golden thread is and what it means in terms of this myth. And it does have to do with Ariadne. She gave a ball of golden thread to Theseus to be unwound as he traveled through the tortuous winding paths of the gloomy labyrinth of Crete, into which he had been sent by the king, ostensibly as a sacrifice, but in reality to slay the Minotaur, which dwelt at its center. And it was only by means of this gleaming thread, the golden thread, that held firmly throughout his terrifying journey, that Theseus was able to return safely out of the dark and tangled maze after slaying the Minotaur. And, of course, the Minotaur is simply a symbol for the ignorance and the greed and the selfishness that lies at the base of the human character. And it's this that has to be slain.
And the labyrinth must be, what, the lower
unconscious? Well, the labyrinth is the dark stage of the descent of human beings, of the soul, the descent into dense physical matter.
Mm-hmm. Deep into materialism. Mm.
And the golden thread in this myth represents the teachings of the ageless wisdom, which is provides the way back to God.
It seems that this subject of the ageless wisdom and the golden thread that runs throughout human history is an appropriate segue to follow on from our discussion of the one life. Because in our discussion of the one life, we discussed how that view of existence posits a central unifying source to all manifestation from which all things proceed and to which all things return. And this central life is utterly and completely unifying in its nature. Well, the ageless wisdom also draws upon that concept of unity in the sense that it draws a kind of a picture or a diagram. It traces the development of human consciousness and particularly human spirituality, belief, faith, throughout history from the dawn of time to the present, and finds that there is this similarity of belief that has been with mankind from its very earliest days on Earth. And regardless of differences in culture and history and tradition and experience, nevertheless, in all different cultures, all different types of people and societies, there is this similar view of the world, not in the sense of a religious view, because we know that religions are actually the source of deep differences and divisions amongst people. But the ageless wisdom is a spiritual teaching that, you could say, sort of runs alongside religion, or perhaps rises above religion, but isn't contained within organized religion. And I think the key word is contained. The ageless wisdom can't be contained or pinned down by any particular religious tradition. It's free of all religious crystallization, and therefore has been allowed to run its course.
That's probably the good thing about it, because it is free from the orthodox kind of scriptures that have divided religious teachings throughout the world. But the ageless wisdom teaching, this is the thread that has existed from, well, it goes back to Atlantean days, and the times there were rather basic, you know, the teachings, the mystery schools of those far-off times were dependent upon the consciousness of the race at the time, the human race, and it wasn't too advanced. So, I mean, the wisdom teachings at that time were rather basic.
They were also a teaching that, as I understand it, was given to humanity at that time, brought into human consciousness by great evolved teachers who lived on Earth then, and who sort of handed the human beings of the time this sacred teaching about the real underlying nature of reality. But these teachers withdrew due to man's misuse of the teaching, the overwhelming desire and selfishness and materialism that developed within humanity brought about what mythology says was a great flood. And a lot of the different world mythologies have the story of the flood in one way or another that eliminated Atlantis and drove the great teachers or masters back to the inner side of life. And what we are left with is a sense of having lost something, of having had a knowledge that was lost and that we are trying to reclaim. That sense of quest is deep in the human psyche, and it lies behind such myths or fables as the Holy Grail, the search for the Holy Grail. I think that's part of the appeal of the, what was that book that, my mind fails me at times, the bestseller that sold millions and millions of copies.
Oh, the Da Vinci Code you're talking
about? Yeah, the Da Vinci Code, that there are imprisoned within our world and available to us these great truths, but that we have to find and discover for ourselves. It's not going to be handed to us anymore.
And these great truths that are the capacity to understand or to reach for these great truths is really what gives us the incentive to tread this path back to God. It's the assurance that human beings will eventually find their way back. It's there again. We have within us this golden thread that we have to hold on to, and if we follow it, it will take us out of this labyrinth of human living in this physical material world, and it will take us back to the source, which is the source being God in this case. And this, so that human beings have this capacity is something that we should really look at and cultivate within ourselves.
Yes, that's one of the essential components of the ageless wisdom, regardless of how it's expressed in its details in a particular culture. The one basic principle or tenet of the ageless wisdom that all people who have that tradition have recognized is that the physical world isn't the only reality. In fact, the physical world isn't really reality. That behind the outer level of life, there's a non-physical reality that is in fact enduring and eternal. Everything that is material passes away, but on another level, this higher reality is perennial. But it can't be grasped by the five senses. It's not tangible. But there is the recognition that there is a path to it. And again, that's another metaphor for the golden thread. There is a path to this reality that every human being can tread. And a further metaphor for the path is the ageless wisdom teaching that within every human being there is a kind of a lifeline, or I suppose a golden thread, in consciousness, which in Sanskrit is called the Antakarana, the rainbow bridge, the path in consciousness that every human being has the capacity to develop, and that is the return in consciousness to realization of our source, in which we live and move and have our being. We are not apart from this source, but belong to it. That's a central component of the ageless wisdom.
Yes, and I think we touched on that in one of our previous programs, that about the one in whom we live and move and have our being, and we are part of that great being. And that is a very important aspect to keep in mind, because it is the golden thread, and that thread of consciousness comes by way of the soul, of course, and the soul is what gives us this ability. The soul quality is what gives us this ability to follow the path.
And the soul is another component of the ageless wisdom, the concept of an inner divine component that exists, buried perhaps, but present within every human being, this divine essence that is more realized in some people and less so in others, but present in all of us. And that's what gives every human being the capacity to follow the golden thread back to the source. But it has to be self-chosen. And that comes only at a certain point in a human being's evolution, that there is this conscious choice to return to the source. As long as one is satisfied with the pursuit of material living and the pleasure and fulfillment of material life, one won't have that hunger. But the return to the essence of life is what the ageless wisdom is all about. I think one of the problems that organized religions, and particularly what are called the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, have caused is a kind of a severance between God or deity and humanity. I don't think that was present in the essence of those religions, nor is it present in the greatest examples of those religions. But the ordinary human approach to those organized religions might fail to understand that there is God transcendent and God immanent. The emphasis on the one God or monotheism has sort of put God out there or up there, apart from the world and apart from us. Whereas the other aspect of divinity, God immanent, stresses the fact that each of us is a fragment of that life, and that's a crucial aspect of the ageless wisdom that people of all ages have sensed.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, the wisdom teachings of the ages. And we have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the book called The Golden Thread by Natalie Banks. And today's discussion is based on The Golden Thread. There's so much, if you want to explore our topic that we're discussing today further, you might want to read The Golden Thread, the special offer for this book. It's a relatively brief book. It's 95 pages. The special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling. So it's only $6. And what you need to do if you'd like to have this book is send us a check or money order for $6. Send it to Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And also, I read a little note saying that you heard about the offer on our program, Inner Sight. Once again, send a check or money order, $6, to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And once again, the title of the book is The Golden Thread, and the price is $6. It's by Natalie Banks. The Golden Thread, just to give you a little précis on the book, it's a brief but remarkably expansive view of the ageless wisdom that we're talking about on today's show. And the book, in the book is traced the origins to ancient world religions and myths, both of the East and the West, and its development throughout history. This book is an excellent introduction to the ageless wisdom as written in the 24 books by Alice Bailey. So this is only a beginning. If you, as a result of reading this book, if this stimulates your interest in the ageless wisdom, you have another 24 volumes to go, which is quite an undertaking. But believe me, I find it fascinating, and I really kind of enjoy plowing through these books. And it's not quite an effort when you enjoy something. But we also appreciate your donations. They are tax deductible, and that's what keeps us on the air. We really appreciate your support. And so if you'd like to make donations, please do so. We want to stay on giving you these broadcasts, and your donations are the only way that we can do it. So send donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if you want to make more direct contact with us, you certainly can by coming to our monthly meditation meetings, or you can write or call for a meeting schedule or a general package of information. You can acquire a general package of information or cassette tapes of radio shows at 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS. Our website is www.lucistrust.org, and there's a lot of information on the website, and the primary reason that people key into the website is to listen to the previously archived library of radio shows. I was thinking, you know, you hear so much when you read history, especially ancient history. One of the things that breaks my heart is when I read that part of history about the destruction of the library in Alexandria. Yeah, right. And before meeting this organization and becoming involved with the Lucis Trust, I would sometimes think about what all the knowledge of the ageless wisdom that was destroyed, and I thought mm-hmm. that, gee, it was gone forever. You hear about Genghis, I don't know if it was Genghis Khan or Attila the Hun who burned that fabulous ancient library to the ground. And then you hear historical comments about Constantine, Emperor Constantine, who decided that he was going to edit the New Testament, mm-hmm. and so he dropped certain things that were very interesting at the time. I just wanted, what is your comment on that? Is the wisdom lost? Is a lot of it lost?
Not really. As a follow-up to your mention of the library in Alexandria, that has been re constructed in recent years by an organization that has undertaken that huge project. And we were asked if we wanted to donate a set of the books of Alice Bailey to that library, and we did.
So the
books of Alice Bailey are present in the reconstructed library in Alexandria. I suppose if we believe that all things happen for a reason, perhaps the loss of that library was a sign that humanity was so ungrateful and uninterested in the wisdom that at one time was available to it. And that's part of what I mentioned earlier, this sense of having lost something, this wisdom that was once present and given to humanity on a platter, so to speak, was ignored and disregarded, and I suppose we've paid a price for it. But that doesn't mean things are hopeless. I think what was decided as a better way was for humanity of its own volition to develop the spiritual hunger to recapture this wisdom, but under its own devices, by drawing upon its own inner resources, the light within. And that era of light began, I suppose we could say, with the realization of the Buddha and his final words, "Be a lamp unto your own feet. Look not to anyone outside yourself for help." Well, he was saying that we each of us have this intuitive realization of truth within us that with a little exercise and practice we can begin to develop. And we have instruction on meditation that goes back to even the earliest times of the written word in the form of the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. Who was Patanjali? Maybe you can say.
Well, he goes back to ancient times in India, and he was, as you said, one of the first to actually write down the. This probably goes down, 10,000-15,000 years ago,
something,
they say.
They're not sure.
So, I mean, it's a marvelous piece of work that he did, and we still have those ancient sutras today. We still use them. In fact, one of the Alice Bailey books is called The Light of the Soul, which is a interpretation of these ancient sutras and a commentary about each one. So it's an ancient teaching that is still used today and will be used for many hundreds of years, thousands of years to come.
And it's a teaching that emphasizes meditation as the means for recovering the path of the golden thread. In other words, developing the power of the mind to find one's way out of the labyrinth of materialism and only physical reality, and to rediscover the inner levels of life through the techniques of the mind. That's the whole essence of the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, and that has, as I say, is a teaching that's been with us for some 11,000 years or more, so not everything was lost. And there's a wonderful book by Aldous Huxley called The Perennial Philosophy that traces the essential teaching of the Ageless Wisdom or the Perennial Philosophy throughout human societies. One of the interesting things is that this essential wisdom is found even in societies that might be called quite simple, or to use an unpolitically correct word, primitive. In fact, I think such peoples are unencumbered by overdevelopment of the concrete mind and perhaps are more intuitive and often have quite a developed understanding of the spiritual elements of existence. Such peoples as the Aborigines of Australia, the Polynesian peoples, we could name them on and on. This morning I was reading a book by Max Freedom Long on the Kahuna tradition of Hawaii, which resided in the priest kings of ancient Hawaii. They had great spiritual knowledge, and he says that tradition is the same as is found in a particular tribe in the Atlas Mountains of Morocco, who have actually very similar words for a lot of the same concepts, which suggests that the ancient Polynesians who settled Hawaii must have come from Morocco, who knows. But obviously there's a global tradition that is being uncovered?
Well, as a subjective source here, that there are all these tribes, ancient tribes, have been tapping into, I think, and they're tapping in on the same ideas that have existed since time immemorial, and the spiritual hierarchy of this planet that has been guiding the evolutionary course of humanity and its development have been in possession of these ancient teachings, and so they are there for any person, any tribal to tap into and draw from. And I think these are how the ancient teachings are passed on, because, as you say, the Polynesians had these teachings, and of course in the Mayans and the mm-hmm. Aztecs and the Incas, they are also along the same traditions, and the ancient Egyptians. All of these represent the golden thread that has existed throughout the eternity, actually.
What I think is so interesting is that this wisdom it resides in societies that have not possibly had any contact with each other, which suggests, again, the theme of our past program, The One Life, that there are certain elements of the human psyche or spirit that are universal and that don't require outer contact or sharing to express themselves. Simply the fact of our humanity being a soul living in a physical body and with a mind suggests that we all, regardless of our outer experiences and so on, discover these same essential truths. And that's what's so beautiful about the ageless wisdom, the revelation of the essential unity of man's understanding of what reality is. There's so much more we can say about it. Perhaps we have to continue this discussion another time.
I hope so. Please take advantage of our special offer from Lucis Publishing Company. And that's the book upon which this show is based, and it's the title of which is The Golden Thread by Natalie Banks, who is a longtime student of Alice Bailey teachings. And the special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling. It's $6, so if you want to take advantage of this offer, ask for The Golden Thread, send us a check or a money order, $6, to Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing Company, Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. On a toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called The Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you.